Hey everyone, how is everybody doing today? I hope you're all having a fabulous day. And just know that we all make mistakes, so don't be too hard on yourself. Now, today's case, we are discussing Paula Gallant. Now, this young lady was a school teacher of grade 2 or 3, and she had a young daughter who was just a few months old, around, oh, was it 10 months? I'll have to double check. But she was just a baby, and still, kids always need their mom, but as a baby, you especially need that nurturing care, and that's supposed to carry on as when we're children. It just helps set a base of love in our hearts and our mind and show us how to love. And mothers are usually the best at showing us how to love. So this young woman was murdered and found in the trunk of her car in the parking lot of her school. But before we get into this case, let me just give a quick update on the Summer Wells disappearance. Now, Summer Wells disappeared. I believe her full name is Summer Moon Utah Wells, or it may just be Summer Moon Wells. But what an awesome, cool name! It's just super neat, like Summer Moon, like. Such a pretty name. But anywho, so the disappearance of Summer Moon Wells was this year, 2021, June 15th, so just 5 days before Father's Day this year, and there's really been no trace of the little girl that the public is really aware of. It does appear that the public and even the police are zeroing in on it happening close to home, if not, a straight domestic something bad happened within the home. And obviously, there's no evidence of that, but what I mean is, at the home, I mean the mom, the dad, the people who lived in the home, and mostly the adults. I doubt the little brothers would have had anything to do with it, or really probably didn't see anything either, if that is the case. So, what I mostly wanted to share about that is, with the 15-year-old boy Hunter and Candace. So I seen a YouTube video on this channel called Sarah, Sara, Saving Spirits. So Sarah Saving Spirits had a video I seen yesterday, and she goes on, she finds this boy Hunter's Facebook page through a comment. Somebody had commented on, I think it was the Summer Wells post of her swimming in the water hole. I don't know exactly whose page it was on, but they commented the boy's full name, Hunter something, and I'm not gonna say his last name on here, but they knew his first and last name, so Sarah Saving Spirits looked it up, and lo and behold, she found a picture. Like, the main picture was, the profile picture was of Bart Simpson, and then the background of the profile picture was, on his Facebook, was Hunter and Candace standing beside each other, and they have their arms on each other's shoulders. You know, they're doing that kind of awkward side hug thing. It's not really awkward, but it kind of looks awkward when it's Candace and a 15-year-old boy. I mean, they could just be close like family, but when I seen the message or in this one comment section, Hunter had changed his status in May 2020 to in a relationship. I think it was like May 21st or something. So he changed it in 2020 to in a relationship, and then in the comment section, it shows someone named Candace Bly with a picture of Summer saying, "Explain, game over," and just it just looked like it was a jealous girlfriend commenting. And I didn't actually look at the dates of these comments. I wish I could have looked into that a little bit because, I mean, I don't really know how the security is with setting up a Facebook too good, but I'm pretty sure like an imposter could just make an account or whatever. But it looks like Candace Bly's comments were like the first comments, so I think that it was actually real time 2020 and that Candace was jealous. And if she was jealous of this new relationship status, perhaps she was grooming him, or perhaps there was some inappropriate behavior between Candace towards this young man, you know, how she was treating him. I don't know how far maybe their physical slash sexual relationship could have been, but Candace, if it did cross that line, which it looks like it did definitely when you read these comments, like I said, she it reads like she's a jealous girlfriend and she wants an explanation. But what I don't understand is why not change the picture to like, say if he is in a relationship, put your girlfriend as your background picture with you. Why is Candace still in the picture? I was a little bit confused about that. Why is Candace even on one of his main pictures in general? Like, are they that close? Like, you know what I'm saying? It just felt really off to me. I think as a young person, unless you have no friends, you wouldn't be posting like your old like lady friend, you know what I mean? Like to a kid, usually people in like their 30s are old, so it's like I don't get you know, of course there's those kids who like hanging around with older people. I mean, I always got along with older people, but and younger people. But this relationship seems off to me. So what I think is they had an inappropriate relationship and Dawn Wells discovered it and then cut them off seeing each other. And then this day that Summer Wells went missing is when they reconnected for the first time in, say, maybe a couple months. It sounded like they hadn't seen each other for quite a while, the way Hunter's interview was with this channel, The Interview Room. It's an ex-detective, I believe, who is interviewing this young man, Hunter, and asking him a bunch of questions. At this one part of the interview, Hunter is asked, excuse me, Hunter is asked his relationship with Candace. Did she like him in a certain way? The detective, the ex-detective, was asking Hunter, and Hunter was like, "No, she has her husband," at one point. And that remark sounded off to me, like she has a husband. Like that's kind of the way he says it in his little like accent type of thing down there. She has a husband. So that just seemed off a little bit to me. And then I also watched a video on Plunder. Plunder is a pretty popular YouTube channel, Plunder. where she has a video discussing how Don Wells, his little sister came out, his younger sister, and they're about, I think there's maybe a 7-year gap between them or less, but it's a big enough gap where he's much older and could take advantage, and he apparently has been molesting his younger sister since she was like a 5 or 3, like she was super young when he started. So it's really disgusting, and he really didn't stop until she was around 10 or 12, I think, when he went to jail for the first time. So that's very disturbing, and the way Don Wells spoke of his daughter that one time, how no one's ever shown him that great love before, no one's ever loved him that much, it threw a lot of people off, that comment. And yeah, sure, it could be innocent, but when you look at this past history that's coming out, it really doesn't feel innocent if he has been molesting his younger sister for years, and he's talking about his little 5-year-old daughter like that, and there's a lot of pictures of Summer kind of being guarded about her private area. She'll constantly be shown in pictures with her hands in front of her private area. And also, a fact I found out that I wasn't too happy with is that she wasn't even allowed to play with her brother's, like, Hot Wheels. And I just thought that was so rude. And apparently she wasn't even allowed a Barbie car because she was a girl. But she had to watch her brothers ride around on all these cool toys. It just seemed super unfair to me. And, like, the description I got when you see Don in one of his interviews, Don Wells, he says, Summer liked to run beside the bikes or whatever. It's like, did she or did you just not get her one? Question mark. And then I seen an interview with a search team person who was saying they're pretty much looking for remains now, and they're still searching around the water hole or the swimming hole where they went swimming that day. Summer, Hunter, her mom, and the granny. Now, at one part of the interview room, I think the detective gets a little confused because Hunter's like, the mom and the grandma were distracted talking about flowers. And then he's like, they were looking for flowers. And, you know, Hunter kind of tries to correct him and himself. He's like, they were talking about flowers. But it seemed like the detective didn't really catch that when he was editing, or because the impression I got was Hunter said they were talking about flowers. And I saw a couple live streams with the interview room guy, detective dude, talking about the interview he had with Hunter. And at that particular part, that specific part, he said that it's kind of funny that the grandma and the mom were looking for flowers. And even in one of his video, like his live videos, he was showing a video that he made himself. And he's walking around the area where they would have been hanging out by the swimming hole. And he's like, there's no flowers around here. And I'm just thinking, yeah, like, he didn't say they were looking for flowers. He didn't say they were picking flowers. What he actually said was they were talking about flowers, like the flowers they were going to buy. And I don't know, like, I could understand how you miss that when you're having the interview at that time, but surely when he was re-looking at the interview, because he did edit it, it was like a 4-hour interview he said he had, and he dwindled it down to 1 hour of the parts that he thought were important, and that's what he did, right? So I'm just thinking, why didn't he catch this in the editing? Maybe, I don't know, but that's the impression I got. So if you guys watch the video, like, I don't know, come to my YouTube channel, Glamorous Mary, and I also have right now, I don't know if it's going to get taken down later, but I have about 20 minutes of that interview, and you guys can let me know in the comments below if you guys hear what I'm hearing in that specific part of the interview where Hunter's telling him about the flowers when he was in the water and the grandma and the mom weren't really even paying attention when he was going and getting Summer out because they were talking about flowers, not looking for flowers. So let me know. Again, Glamorous Mary on YouTube. I have a video about Hunter's interview. Let me know in the comments there what you think of that part of the flowers. So now we're going to be discussing Paula Gallant. She was one of three siblings. She was the baby of her family, and she was very much loved and wanted and cherished. Her sisters weren't too much older than her. Paula's older sisters' names are Lana and Lynn, and they often referred to Paula as the baby of the family, like I said, because she was the youngest. Unfortunately, they did lose both their parents rather early. Paula was born December 6, 1969, and her dad passed away in 1985, and her mom in 1989. So super sad. I think they both passed away from the same thing. So the girls' parents both passed away from the same illness, oddly enough, and Paula was almost 20 at that point when her mom passed away. Paula was murdered on December 27th, 2005. Prior to her murder, she was married for 2 years, and she had just had her little daughter for 11 months, Anna, which really made her world go round. She absolutely adored Anna, and her sisters were like the godparents to her daughter. And they were just all like the godparents to each other's children, which is super cute and nice. And they were all married at this point. But for Christmas gatherings, they would all go to, I think it was Sister Lana's house. And so they were all living in this community west of Halifax, Nova Scotia, in Canada. So I think Paula lives super close to all her sisters, but for sure Lana, where she went and had the Christmas dinner, and they kind of just celebrated the holidays together, which is super sweet. So on December 27th, she had a phone call actually with her sister Lana that day, saying how she wasn't really planning on doing anything, just staying home, and she was just kind of doing some work on the computer, trying to relax with her baby. You know how it is after big Christmas feast with the family, you kind of just want to go relax, and that's what she was planning on doing that day. So you can imagine Lana's surprise when Paula's husband, Jason, phones her and asks if she's seen Paula. He hasn't seen her, and she was supposed to just go get diapers quickly for the baby, Anna, for their baby, and she hasn't returned. It's been like a couple hours, he was saying, I think. So Lana was immediately concerned, and Jason was acting concerned as well. Yeah, so Jason McRae, Paula Gallant's husband, had said that she left at 2 o'clock. So, I mean, that seems like quite a long time. And I know in 2005, cell phones were around. So, I don't know. Like, they did have cell phones, I believe. Why didn't he try calling her on the cell, on the celly? And I would have been trying to get a hold of someone supposed to just go for diapers like an hour. I'd be like, "Where are you? What are you doing? Let's go. I want my diapers for my baby." Unless they didn't really need them. But like she said she was planning on staying in that day, so makes me think that if the story is true that Jason is saying, they must have really needed the diapers for her to go out last minute. If she did really say to her sister, "You know, I'm not going anywhere today. I'm just staying at home." It doesn't sound like she wanted to go run any kind of errands. So after Lana gets this phone call from Jason, I don't know if Lana told him to call the police, but I'm pretty sure they had probably discussed that because Lana went to her sister Lynn's house to make sure that Paula wasn't there or whatever, so, or probably just to like discuss how they were gonna go about like the situation. When siblings are very close, it helps when they regroup to help another sibling. I don't know. It's just one of those things. So Jason calls the police department for advice. Apparently at this time. So I don't know. He must have said that, like, "Hey, my wife's been missing for a couple hours." And, like, on this case, it seemed like they got involved rather quickly. So, anyways, Jason, you know how sometimes they make people wait, like, "She's a grown woman, blah, blah, blah." But, anyways, so Jason checked her online bank account and things of that nature, and they discovered that no money had been spent. He drove around to the Costco where he had told everybody she had said she was going to grab the baby diapers. So for some reason, it took like another 3 hours for them to do their, little search of calling friends and things, and him driving around looking for Paula at 10 o'clock, December 27th, 2005. So, let's see, how many hours has it been? Like 8 hours, right? Wait, if she went at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a whole 8 hours. So he calls the police and actually reports her missing at 10 o'clock. So 8 hours after she apparently left to go get her baby some diapers. So like I said earlier in this episode, Paula was a grade 3 teacher, and Jason had finally filled in the crowd that, Paula might have gone to the school, or she said she was maybe gonna stop there to work on some drawing she was making for her daughter for Anna's first birthday. How fucking sad is that? Doesn't even get to see her daughter turn 1. Wow. It's awful when you think of things like that. Like, when the person gets murdered, it affects everyone around them. And if they have babies or kids, it's so much more devastating. It just is, because that kid is gonna miss out on a great parent, So she's a grade 3 teacher, and he says she might have gone to the school. Like, if he was a real concerned husband and she had mentioned that, wouldn't he have gone there already? I don't know. So Lana and her husband, Paul, and then Lynn's husband, Ellen, go to the school to check for Paula while Lynn stays with baby Anna. And I know Jason ends up going there too, because they all see that Paula's car is just parked in the school parking lot. How convenient, and how convenient that the husband was the one to mention the location, basically. So, Jason, Paula's husband, starts running around the school, banging on the doors, acting like she might be inside. Paula! Paula, are you in there? Bang, 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 like an idiot. Running around while everybody else is standing by the car with the police, like waiting for the police. And then, unfortunately, when the police do get there, I think they actually got a spare key or something from Jason finally at some point. I don't actually think they had to break in it. So yeah, they get a spare key and they open the trunk, and unfortunately they find 36-year-old Paula in the fetal position and with some kind of a medic blanket from like a medic kit, like some gray one that she had. She had some medic kit in her car that came with a blanket as well. I heard from another podcast I was listening to, so another podcast I heard as well said the blanket came from the house, from their house, but I'm more inclined to think it was already in the car, maybe in some medic kit, although I'm not too familiar with medic kits, so I don't know. I'm sure maybe some come with a blanket. I don't know. I haven't seen them with a blanket, but maybe like on the side of it or something. I don't know. So she had like some thin, crappy, like gray blanket, pretty much over her. I don't know. So somebody had murdered her and stuck her in the trunk, although police couldn't officially rule it a homicide until the autopsy was done. And once the autopsy was done, they said, yeah, it's for sure that she was murdered through, like she was strangled to death, and it also looked like there's maybe some trauma to her head as well. So after this devastating event, Paula had just had her 36th birthday, just celebrated Christmas with her baby, her husband, psychopath, and her sisters, and just the family, right? Her nephews, nieces, whomever, I'm not sure. Her sister's kids, but I'm sure she had nieces or nephews or both. And they were both married, so it was a big, nice, cozy family Christmas, which sounds absolutely lovely. But after this lovely Christmas, now their sister is gone, and they have to plan the funeral and things, which happened fairly quickly after the murder. And Jason, the husband, didn't contribute, from what I have heard and researched about. It didn't look like he made any attempt to contribute to the cost of the funeral, having the ceremony for Paula. And also, she was left with, like, a gravestone plank, I believe, because Jason wouldn't buy her a gravestone type of thing. So it seemed like he wasn't trying to pretend that he cared. They would do visuals for Paula as well, and Jason wouldn't really attend any of those, from what I could tell, and he would say things like he was having his own little memorable ceremony for Paula with his daughter and his family, like a more close, intimate one, is what he would say. So there's a bunch of sketchy behavior, and the police have no suspects, but everybody has a suspect. You know what I mean? Like, the police, they have their suspicions about the husband. They have no evidence, but they have suspicion. And the sisters, for years, were pushing for Paula not to be forgotten, for there to be justice for Paula. And it's a few years later before she gets any type of justice because her daughter is about 7, I think, at the time. So they did so many nice things in memory of Paula. They redid the art room at the school, like Paula was always wanting to do, because she was just such a nice person. And she was trying to make a nicer art room for the kids. And they did that in honor of Paula. And also, there was a street on one of the sisters. One of the sisters lived on a street where they had decided to rename their street because it was a little bit confusing with some of the other streets or whatever. So, actually, a neighbor in the neighborhood on the street petitioned to name it after Lynn or Lana's sister Paula, who had tragically been murdered and left in the back of her vehicle, in the boot of her car, or in the trunk, whatever you say. Sorry to laugh, but I just like speaking kind of in the English type of accent sometimes, like the boot of the car. So anyways, love it. Love the way they talk. I do. I'm not even making fun of it. A little bit jelly. Anyways, so the neighbor is so thoughtful, like, even I think this was even a couple years later, but either way, neighbor was super thoughtful and petitioning for the sister to have her sister's name, who had passed away so tragically, for the street, so Paula Street. And whoever was in charge of doing that did agree. And yeah, it was renamed to Paula Street, which is super nice. Paula was so, she was such adored, you know, she was so adored by her family members and the school, the principal, so many people. Everyone who knew her said, like, she was just very caring, very gentle natured, quite funny. She was quite funny, and yeah, just a sweet lady. And the way she was murdered is going to blow your guys' mind. Like, she was really with a sick person. Her husband is truly a sick individual. So, you know, years later in Canada, they have this Mr. Big operation. I'm not sure if they do it in America or in the UK or anything, but from what I researched and I hear, it was pretty much made in Canada, this whole Mr. Big sting. They call it a sting, right? So a sting operation is where they get their target to join a gang or be affiliated with some people. They obviously have to do it to fit the profile of the person they're trying to lure into their gang or their Mr. Big operation in order to extract the truth or the information. So what they like to do is gain the person's trust by setting up a bunch of fake, usually fake. I think the undercover detectives sometimes have to maybe take narcotics, is that how you say it? Take drugs that they don't want to. I'm not sure, but I was discussing it with my boyfriend, and he's like, yeah, you know, they also have to like shoot up and stuff to like get the people's trust sometimes. But like that makes sense. Like if you're with someone that sick and maybe gang affiliated, maybe you would have to do some stupid shit like that. So we're not sure what all they did for the Understing operation, but I'm pretty sure it was a little more mellow with this Jason character. He just didn't seem like too big of a gangster to me. You know what I mean? So they did this Mr. Big operation on Jason because they were quite sure that he was the one to murder his wife. They just had nothing on him. So they do a series of events, like, I'm not sure what all they did, whether it was committing crimes with Jason, which it probably was. Maybe it was digital crime. Maybe it was like they had actors and did fake crimes like that. I'm not too sure. But either way, they did some stuff and gained Jason's trust, and he was working with them, doing jobs for them, making money with this gang, this Mr. Big operation, who were actually a bunch of undercover detectives that he thought were gang members. He started working for the gang full time. He quit his job and actually started working for this gang. And this guy has a little girl at home. Not like he cares, considering what he did to her mom. But yeah, he has a little girl at home and he's joining a gang, quitting his job, his actual job. Like, what are you gonna do when you file your taxes? I made all my money in the gang. Like, I don't know. That part makes no sense to me. Like, how do you feel stable enough or safe enough where you could quit your job, at least have like an alibi of where you make money? But no, he gets rid of everything for the gang. It's just a total idiot, right? So usually in the Mr. Big operation, they're like, okay, you're gonna meet the big boss, essentially Mr. Big, and you're gonna have to do something to prove like your loyalty to the gang. You're gonna have to give them some information that they could hold against you if you try to mess with the gang, I guess. I don't know. I kind of missed how they lured him into talking, but I'm assuming it's something like that. So they meet Mr. Big Guy, and he's like, we know the cops have something on you. You have to tell me exactly what happened so we can get the heat off of you. And, at first, he was kind of playing stupid, like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do anything. And they might think they have something on me, but they got nothing, right? And the Mr. Big guy at that point was like, ugh, you're wasting my time. And after saying that, he like confesses everything. He says his wife was pissing him off that day. She found out about some $700 debt that he had. He liked to gamble, which to me isn't that big of a deal. Like, I've heard stories where the debt has been much bigger, much harder to pay off, you know, so this was definitely just like a side excuse for him. So Paula is at the computer, turned towards the wall, doing work, but she's also kind of yipping at her husband, like, here you go, like, wasting our money on gambling, like a wife should do, you know, keep her husband in check. Let him know when he's crossing the line. That's just our job as women. So even the Mr. Big guy is like, all women are like kind of like that. Idiot. But it also makes me think like maybe this guy was a little bit of a pedophile because he didn't get any like girlfriend from what I can tell after he murdered his wife and all he had was his daughter. And like most men care about getting laid and things. And so, like, was he a pedophile of some sort? Was he touching his daughter inappropriately? I don't know. Those are just like side accusations, allegations, allegedly. I have no proof of this. This is just speculation on my part. Like, why doesn't the dude get a new girlfriend? Did he have a new girlfriend? I just didn't hear about it. I'm gonna be doing a case on this. I'm doing a case. I'm gonna be doing a video on this case on my YouTube channel, Glamorous Mary. So if you wanna leave me any like comments you want me to actually read, you can go there and like leave me comments. So he admits to this Mr. Big guy, he would think of killing his wife on pretty much a daily basis. It would just occur to him like, I kind of feel like killing my wife, but I'm not gonna do it today. Like, that's kind of like how it sounded like this guy was thinking. Sometimes he would just look at her in the bed like, I could do it now. I could just jump on her now. But he didn't do it, right? Until this one day. So Paul is bitching at him a little bit, which is fine. And you should just take that when your wife is mad at you for being an idiot, right? And not being responsible with the money and whatever, they have a baby. But apparently, she like, I guess maybe she was at her sister's earlier that day. Or I don't know, maybe she just walked in the room and was yipping at him. But he said she came in and he looked at the wood board. It had like a 2x4 or a 2x6 or something. I think it was a 2x4 piece of wood. And as Paula was kind of yipping at him, he's like thinking, this is the day. And while Paul is at the computer unexpectedly, he goes upstairs while she's going off at him, telling him how, like, he's got to stop gambling the money away. So at this point, Paula's not even really like talking. She's doing work on the computer. And her husband, Jason, is creeping down the basement stairs. And their computer room is right beside their laundry room as well. He's holding this piece of wood in his hands and he's walking slowly towards his wife. When Jason gets close enough, he swings the 2x4 at his wife's head, but misses the first time and actually puts a minor hole in the wall, which he patches up that same day, which everybody seemed to miss that little piece of information. Paula wasn't able to react or do anything before he swung again. And this time actually connected with her skull. He, being a dumbass, expected his wife just to drop down dead right there, essentially. Or at least drop down to the floor. But she stood up and turned around and looked at her husband and started screaming, holding her head. Like, what are you doing? Like, ah, like, get away from me. And so he freaks out and grabs her and drags her to the laundry room. And like is like choking her or suffocating her to death. And while he's doing this, they have a baby monitor in their computer room, which he can hear his daughter waking up from her nappy time. So his Jason's daughter is waking up from a nap. Maybe even Paula, maybe even the last thing she hears is her daughter on the baby monitor and is thinking, I won't be able to go see my baby ever again. But Jason didn't seem to mind, which makes me feel like, not only is he a sick murderer, but a sick pedophile and super selfish, taking his own baby's mama away from her. You think as she's waking up, maybe he'd be like, oh no, like my baby needs her mom? Like, so messed up how he can hear his baby waking up from her nap, probably crying for her mom, but her mom's never gonna be there again. It's like, you know how babies and moms are like connected, spiritually, intuition kind of thing. I bet her daughter felt like something was wrong with her mom, and that kind of stirred her from her nap. But either way, super sad. Sorry, my kid just kind of screamed there for a second. Either way, super sad. I mean, wow. To think she's married to some guy that thinks about killing her pretty much on a daily basis, and like, he just acts normal. Totally a Chris Watts trait. Totally a Chris Watts trait. Like, I know Chris Watts was thinking about murdering his wife because the way he acted around her in some of his videos. Like, there's one video on my YouTube channel, Glamorous Mary, where it's entitled, like, Chris is choking his dog, or Chris grabs his dog's neck several times. And this is while Shanann's doing a Facebook or live. And Chris Watts is standing in the background, like holding his dog's neck. Like, he'll just grab at the neck to apparently lift up his head. But if you watch it, you can see he grabs his neck and actually lifts the head by lifting the dog's body and tilting it. He's just kind of grabbing the neck just to grab at a neck. And I'm thinking he's thinking about grabbing Shanann's neck when he's doing this. So he then says that after Jason murders Paula, he goes upstairs and gets Anna out of the crib and puts her in her baby chair. He then feeds her, which is whatever, like, sicko. You just killed the mom and now you're feeding her baby, which I'm glad he's taking care of the baby. I'm glad he didn't pull a Chris Watts on this one, but I think he was a little bit smarter and knew he couldn't get away with both. And when I say a little bit smarter, I'm really underlining the word little, okay? So their house or their yard was private enough where he was able to get his wife's body to the trunk of the vehicle, of Paula's vehicle, without anybody noticing. I'm pretty sure they had a garage. So Jason leaves his daughter in the high chair, which is like so fucked up for the kid. Like, she's just getting harsh, neglected. And ever since the mom was murdered, believe me, she was never loved the same. Definitely neglected from him. So basically, that's what happens, right? He just takes her to the parking lot. And, when he's putting his wife's body in the vehicle, in the trunk, her shoes actually kind of fall off. And it's super cold there, like winter time, right? Yes, baby, you gotta be quiet for mommy podcast. So it's like wintertime, right? And she is really underdressed. So they can kind of tell, like, she didn't dress herself, probably, right, too. But her shoes fell off, and he was putting Paula in the trunk, and he just threw them beside the body as well. So he drives the vehicle to the parking lot, and then he jogs home, because it was just like a short drive from their house. And then he checks the mailbox, so if any neighbor said they seen him outside, he could say that he was checking the mailbox. So that's about as far as his planning went. But still super sick and super, like, really disgusting behavior. This is totally no empathy. And then he even tells the Mr. Big guy that he actually loved his wife. Like, for reals. Like, oh my gosh. No, you didn't. No, you did not ever love her. Please. Please. And he's probably a pervert. And that's why he never got a girlfriend after he murdered his wife. That's just my opinion. Don't come for me. So now all the family has to find out what happened to the sister for real. What happened to their beloved baby sister? After losing their parents and everything, now they lost their baby sister. Now there's just two sisters left. The trio will never be the same again, and it's all because of this stupid piece of shit that she trusted to be her husband and take care of her. I had to share this story, like, had to, because I could not believe the behavior of this husband and the sick thoughts he would have, like, whenever his wife would maybe annoy him, he would just like think of killing her. And she wouldn't even have to annoy him. She could just be laying in bed and he would look over and have these thoughts. So I'm so glad they do these Mr. Big operations. I'm so glad that they tricked him into a confession and that he's dumb enough to play along like a little gang member. I'm also, happy that the daughter is now living with one of Paula's sisters and probably getting shown real love that she probably hasn't really experienced or remember experiencing because her mom passed away when she was a baby, but she still has those baby memories that she can't really reach, but somewhere inside of her, they're there. And she was very loved by her mom. And now I'm sure she's getting lots of love from her auntie and her auntie's children, her uncle. I'm sure she is in a much better place than with her dad. And how sad for that little girl to know I lost my mommy as a baby, but now I know that it was with the man, my dad, who I lived with for years and loved. I'm really hoping he didn't do anything sick to his daughter. I'm just super suspicious about that, and these are just my suspicions. I mean, he's the main parent. He has no one else to look, see if the daughter is being abused or whatever, neglected by him. If she wasn't sexually molested by this guy, she was definitely probably neglected on some level. And I know I'm basically just talking shit, throwing things out there, but he went like 7 years without getting a girlfriend from what I can see or tell. So let me know if I'm wrong if he did get a girlfriend. Yeah, people can be single and still be good people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this guy was sick, and we're not sure on how many levels. So I do apologize to the baby girl, Anna, and the family members if I caused any offense by saying my suspicions, because I totally don't mean to. People should just be aware of the safety of children. And even the sisters were trying to get custody of Anna before they had any custody of her, right? Before the dad was arrested, because they said that he was an unfit parent. So maybe there was something going on there. I really hope that I'm wrong on that situation. But I've been wrong before, so hopefully I'm wrong, yeah. So thank you all for listening. Paula Gallant was just sitting there on a computer when she was whacked with a freaking piece of wood on the head by her husband. Like, oh, I wish she could have done more when she stood up and turned around, like kicked him in the nuts real quick, jabbed him in the eye. So, yes, thank you for listening to the Summer Walls update. Thank you for listening to Paula Gallant and just this tragic story, how her life ended because of the man she married, the father of her daughter, which I hope he took good care of. That piece of shit. You all stay safe out there. Treat people kindly and just try to put yourself in other people's shoes, because if we always think about ourselves, we won't be able to see other people's pain. And we could be a help to people who need it, hopefully. I don't know what I'm talking about now. But yeah, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Take care, everybody. Bye for now.